Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
And so this week, Jesus invites us into that sweet life by being a part of something larger than ourselves. You know, and I feel strongly that as a kind of side note, that if we're not investing in a couple of different ways, we're not growing spiritually to our full potential. One is if you are not in some kind of group, like a small group or a study group or whatever, that you're not part of community, then you're not growing to your full potential. But the second piece is that if you're not serving somewhere, you're not serving or you're not growing to your full potential, because there is so much about the gospel, about what God calls us to, that is a verb that is getting outside of ourselves and being part of something bigger than ourselves. And so what we see in this story, what we see in this time and place, the very, very first thing that we see from this young man, and we're going to focus on this young man. John is the only gospel writer, even though all four talk about Jesus' miraculous feedings. The three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that we call the synoptic gospels because they're so similar, that all three of them have this story as well. Mark has two feeding stories, but nobody mentions this little bit about how they came to get these meager offerings that would then feed the multitudes. And so some people think, kind of the biblical scholars think, that John always works off of some of these other gospels. But this little kind of gem that we find here about, well, there was this boy and he offered up his lunch, kind of gives us this other understanding of it. And so I thought that was kind of awesome. And then that reading kind of keys in on what happens here. And so Jesus sets it up where he's jumping frogs. That's a little bit of midrash or a little bit of addition to the story. But he sits down with this boy and he's talking, and they see the crowd starting to come. And Jesus, not willing to turn back people from a meal, kind of like United Methodists, that we like to eat together. And so Jesus sees these crowds coming and looks around, and then asks his disciple and sets it up in a way that only Jesus does, and says, okay, so where can we go and get these people some food? There's not like a CC's pizza buffet around that you can get terrible pizza for really, really cheap, right? It's just we're here. But Jesus loves to set these, God loves to set these things up where it's no doubt in your mind that it could be anything but God. Now, in our lives, sometimes we call those like God moments, that you look back and you think maybe after the fact and you go, oh man, I don't know how to explain that except for it was God. Even if you're kind of skeptical, you go, man, there's no way that those events just line up. Have you ever had those moments before where you go, something must have been, it couldn't be anything but God? And so some of those other places and spaces, you know, Gideon fights the Midianites and defeats them over their overwhelming numbers. And God says, no, you have too many, And so kind of whittles Gideon's forces down to the point that you go, man, there was no way that they could be successful and overcome these Midianites except for God. You know, the walls of Jericho fell not because of their military might and strategy, but because they walked around blowing trumpets, being super obnoxious for a number of days, and then all of a sudden, on the last day, the walls came tumbling down, right? It couldn't have been anything but God. Or if we look and think about even just a few months ago at Christmas and thinking about, you know, the Savior of the world was born to an unwed immigrant who was from a nowhere town and didn't have anything. And this was going to be the one that raises up and is raised from the dead and saves every single person and makes a new covenant. It couldn't be anything but God. It's not because of his prestige or his power or his influence or his wealth or anything else. It can't be anything but God. And so, you know, on our reading today, what we find is there's this invitation of this young boy who's sitting and connecting with Jesus. And Jesus goes, man, these people need food. And he offers up right then. Now, one of the things that we realize is that oftentimes what God does is God offers up this invitation, and it's a right now type of thing, right? He didn't have time to go back home to talk to mom and grandma about packing an extra lunch. He didn't have time to go and plan and get everything in place, but rather it was, hey, we really need some food, and you have some food. Could you help us out right now? And oftentimes, that's what God does, right? Is that there is this invitation in a way that then allows us to see that maybe there's not a lot of time to pre-plan, but God is all about that on-the-job training. And so the young boy says, well, yeah, I have these two fish and a couple of loaves, and let's see what we can do together. And Jesus is like, we got this. And the disciples are like, nope, I don't think so, right? They're skeptical. And so what we realize is that sometimes when God invites, we need to be ready and willing right then and there to take that risk and be a little bit risk-taking. And not worry about what mom's going to say when we come home with this story about what we did with our fish jerky, because that's pretty much what it was. Think about like beef jerky. It was this kind of like fish jerky type of stuff and the first century equivalent of Wonder Bread. And you go, here we go. I got some slices here and I got fish jerky here and let's do this thing, right? It wasn't some gourmet meal. And so we realize that sometimes it's just this immediacy that God calls us into. Secondly, when we become part of something like this, when that boy was swept up into this chance encounter with Jesus, man, there is something that gets into our skin and we are able to see the bigger picture. We're able to see that there is something more important than us going on, but we're able then to see that bigger picture that allows us to see the similarities that bring us together, and those things that were once those divisive differences all of a sudden become this beautiful diversity. Have you ever noticed that? That like when you change your perspective a little bit, those differences that have irritated you before now all of a sudden allow you to see things more clearly and more fully in the way that God orchestrates things. You know, what happens then sometimes is that we get into one another and that Jesus in his forgiveness brings us together so that this grace allows us to turn those divisive differences into something that is blessed and diverse. And last year, I experienced this locally, and we have it coming up again on April 14th, I think, is the blessing of the wheels. And so what that means is that we're blessing not just bikes and motorcycles, but also strollers, cars, anything that has, we'll even count like running shoes, because that's probably what I'm going to do this year. So I'll probably do like a prayer run or something. You know, and what happens is that when you get together, so here's a picture from last year. I was borrowing Grace the therapy dog, as you can see, because I'm her favorite. Right, Cindy? Oh, she's in the back. I can say anything about Grace. Grace is, yeah. No. So there we are. There's Rod that I've got my arm around. Now, Rod and I, just at first glance, probably wouldn't have much in common. His story doesn't match up with my story very much. And so if we just met somewhere, we'd probably just have a casual hi. Kind of similar thing with Pastor Sandy, who's the pastor at Wesley Chapel. And then on the end there is J.W. Park, who's been here a couple of times. If you've been here when he's here, he's probably the only guy in a suit that has come through here in the past 7-8 years or so. It's glorious. But all four of us are a pretty diverse, different crew, you know? And so at first glance, if we were just to casually meet one another, we'd probably just be cordial, but that would be about it. But there is something, and I love this picture because then right after that happened, we sent out these bikes and these motorcycles and bicyclists and walkers and car riders and everything else to go pray over the town to have a ride. But there is something then, every time I see Rod, there is something magical that happens, man. I love seeing him. I love talking to him. I love connecting with him on social media. And it's because of that difference that I get to see his perspective and he gets to see mine. But we then come together at the center that is called the cross, and we see that it's a richer world because we are in one another's lives. And it's pretty neat. And so we literally remember, we kind of come together and realize what is most important and the bigness of God's love. Then the other piece that we see is that God takes these ordinary things, takes this ordinary work, takes these fish and these loaves, the things that would have been just a common kind of first century lunchable, okay, and makes it into something so much bigger that God has this way of taking the ordinary. We think about baptism, the ordinary water, and it's turned into something extraordinary. that it quenches, it satisfies that thirst, it washes clean in the physical way, but also then spiritually it does the same thing. We think about communion and we take bread and we take juice or wine and we then remember how that has become a reminder of the body and blood of Christ that has given forgiveness to the entire world, right? The ordinary work becomes extraordinary. And so this next picture I want to show you is from a few years back when Manadokan called us, Camp Manadokan, where we send a bunch of our kids throughout the summer. Mike, that is one of my favorite pictures of you, man. You are happier than anything else in that picture. You've got your coffee in your one hand. There was joy on Mike's face like you could not believe. And you know what we were doing? We were doing the ordinary work of cutting up wood, throwing it into the loader, and then Mike would go and take it off somewhere. I don't know where he went, because they didn't let me close to machinery like that. So what we were doing, though, was that we were taking those trees that had either fallen down or had previously been cut down, we were taking them away so that then there could be this new pathway for the zip line. Chad, go to that next slide. So here's what we were working on right here. Do you see that clearing? Right? Because the old zip line was kind of treacherous a little bit. It's my favorite one, but there was some anxiety about it, and there was a more usable way to do it. And So then we had the zip line cleared like that. And it was a few years back. It was really great work. It was really ordinary work, right? There's nothing magical about cutting down trees. There's something therapeutic sometimes about cutting down trees, right? And about seeing that progress. But the magic comes in the way that God then had used that space and used that way to connect. And so, Chad, can you play that video? You might need to mute the computer because it's just obnoxious sound. But then that year, actually, this is from 2 years ago, this is that zip line that was put up on one of those trees, okay? And so there's Jacob Suter. He's one of our young people, and he came to camp with us. And so what happened was, in that ordinary work, something transformative was able to happen where this zip line was built. And it was a way that then God has been using that ordinary work to do extraordinary things. And so even in the midst of Mike running that John Deere and us being able to play with power tools, God has been transforming that ordinary work into something so extraordinary that these kids get to learn about trust and grace and joy and just get to have a really great time as they go down that zip line. And it's a super good time, and they really love it. And then there's teamwork to make sure that you don't go back the other direction when you get to the end like they're seeing right now, right? But there is something awesome about the way that that ordinary work was transformed into something extraordinary. And so as we get to kind of have that conversation and have that encounter, we end our time together today thinking about, okay, so we tell this story. We tell the story about this little boy who was willing to give his lunch to Jesus. We tell the stories about Gideon and against the Midianites, and we tell the story about the walls of Jericho and the Savior that's been born and these ordinary things just like blessing motorcycles and cutting down trees, and we tell it. And I guess the question then is, so what now? And the response is that God can make disciples and deeply committed followers out of fishermen and tax collectors. Now, they're not the most highbrow of the first century, right? I mean, you think about that, and you think about if Jesus can be the teacher or the rabbi of these guys who society had kind of written off and forgotten about, and make these guys, this dozen or so guys, be the ones that the church was built on, the one whose story we continue to tell now, what do you think God can do with you if you're willing to give up your lunch? If you're willing to give just a little bit, you know, and you might think, and oftentimes I hear people say, well, I don't have anything to give. I don't have that much to give. And Jesus has this beautiful story in the Gospel of Luke that he tells. And it's read like this. Let me get it so that I can read you the actual words. Because Jesus is overseeing the temple and seeing what's happening at the temple. And then in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4, it says this. Looking up, Jesus saw the rich people throwing their gifts into the collection box for the temple treasury. I like that language of they're just tossing it in, right? They're just throwing in their treasures into the temple treasury. He also saw this poor widow throw two small copper coins worth a penny And he said, I assure you that this poor widow has put more in than all of them. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything that she has to live on. Essentially, what God is saying is, when we give that kind of sacrificial gift, when we give out of our heart, you know, and this isn't just the funds thing. This is, I only have this little bit. I have this little skill over here, and how could I magnify that, right? How could I make this a ministry? For me, for a couple of years, that was when I was doing kayak construction, right? I go, God, I don't really have much to offer. I mean, I can paddle. And I don't know how many times, how many weekend lessons, how many times people wanted them to talk about God. And it made sense. We were in nature. We were doing these things. But man, people would be like, I don't know. I just feel like I'm lost in my life and feel like there's something bigger out there for me. And I would get irritated, right? I'd be like, I'm just here to kayak. I just want to teach you how to not die on the river. And then I'd like, let's just take a 5-minute break. And I'd say this prayer. And this prayer would go something like this. Dear God, I realize that it's Sunday and I'm not at church, but come on, man, aren't you supposed to be somewhere else, right? And the response from God would probably be, no, I think I'm going to be right here doing church with you so that you can tell this person about something, probably about me and about how he's loved because he feels really down. And then I'd respond by going, oh, crud, right? That's not what I really wanted to hear. I think I'm going to seminary sometime soon. Can we talk about it then? God said no. I'm asking for it right now because I can do powerful things in the water in ordinary ways that turn out to be extraordinary and that you're going to realize that we're all connected, that you can remember together. And that was really tough for me because I realized that even with my two little widow's mites that I could put in, God could make that so much bigger than what I thought. So what are you going to offer today, this week? Let's pray. Wonderworking God, I give you thanks today for the ways in which you call each of us to offer what we have, to be part of something bigger than ourselves, even when we think it's not much. God, if it's 2 fish and a couple of loaves, or if it's the ability to just play on the water and splash around with people and help find joy, or whatever that might be. God of grace, allow us to use that for your glory, because we know that in that we are working and living for your kingdom vision that is so, so much bigger than we could ever imagine. God, it's in your Son's name that we offer this prayer. Amen.